very isolated and very alone.
My mother raised me to tangle with the big boys, to pull out my thumb.
The time is 6 p.m. on a summer afternoon off Spanish Banks, just off near Wreck Beach. And we are on location, we being CITR 101.4 FM, on location. I am on this little raft. We're along John Tanner. Hi there, John. Are you okay? Hey, man, those are broad strokes. It's like an Olympic swimmer. You're doing well. Floating here, man. So refreshing and so cooling.
Salt water.
You don't like salt water?
No.
Go back to Okanagan Lake.
Okay.
No, this is where it's at. This is it. This is the summertime. Finally, we've been waiting for this. Bring on the sun.
Whoa.
Bring on the heat. Get out the. Watch out for the waves and watch out for those freighters dumping whatever they're dumping. And oh my God, John. John, look.
What?
Look.
What's that?
It's a log boom.
Oh.
It's a log boom. There's three big logs coming towards you. Get out of the. Get out of the way. Get out the way, man. Look at the log booms.
Oh, God.
Come loosen up. So hung up. Come count them. Wasted forever. Remember, the winter gets cold in ways you always forget. Oh, you know, rhythm and soul. Get your hands at your back pockets, boy, let it go. Dollars and cents and no accident, not in the name of democracy. Come get there, come be there, come let your socks fall down to your shoes. And it falls in her lap. Oh, no, no. Take another picture and you spring in the trap. Oh, no, no. You've been sold. Couches, short legs and square shoulders, pot holders, egging soldiers, your tank rollers, you're all older. And you know, ooh, the rhythm is soul. Get your fingers moving that socket, tune in Tokyo. You're just the man, the one I saw in Kazan. One of us went for the throne. Oh no, rhythm.
All right, from down south, I know Austin, Texas is where they hang out sometimes. Interesting note here on Radio, CITR, 101.9 FM Vancouver. There's a typo on the back cover, Nimrod, I just discovered here.
Hey, remember, what is that?
Well, you remember I said they spelt rhythm wrong. They spelled it without the Y. Well, they do spell it correctly on the inside liner notes there. So, I don't know, whatever it means. Doesn't mean much, you know.
But it has got you a little bit stymied and confused. You have that look upon your face like, I'm just not sure. Why don't you write a letter to Spoon? And by the way, Long John Tanner, a longtime esteemed veteran of Vancouver Radio Wars, that's not the same Spoon that you were thinking of that did Nova Heart back in the 80s.
Yeah.
You were thinking about a Canadian group called the Spoons.
Spoons,
the Spoons,
yeah,
right.
Yeah.
Now, this is the Spoons.
Speaking of
Spoons.
Singular.
Speaking of Spoons, you've got too much sun today, I can tell. It's dinner hour. Bon appetit here on Radio with little Nimrod here and Long John Tanner. You heard about recently in Jakarta? You've been to Indonesia.
I have.
Yeah, okay, yes. So maybe you know about this. You've had Rustjavel in Holland and in Indonesia, which is rice table. It's various dishes, but based around rice. You've had all that.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, this is not about that. Well, pot, that is marijuana, is for recreational use, is, of course, illegal in Jakarta, in Indonesia. My God, they have the death penalty for such a demonic weed or herb that it is. Government may review its policy, however, since dope has been discovered, especially in I'm not sure how to pronounce this, Aka province, where they grow hemp, to be a perfect seasoner for many dishes such as mutton and beef curry.
Ooh.
Getting hungry there, right?
Yeah.
We go to Jolly's after. And are laced with dope seeds to give said dishes more flavor in tandem with other commonly used spices and herbs. And this is for mom in the kitchen right now, looking for the coriander. And you might add a little bit of what they do in Jakarta. Ratna Pakora, who is owner of the popular restaurant in Jakarta, says marijuana is a widely accepted cooking spice. And even the Indonesian Vice President Kala says it's cool to use it as food seasoning, but it should not be fully legalized. That is to say, eat it, but don't smoke it. Hey, Mom, this nasi goreng is sure good. More, please.
Ooh.
Boy, have you ever got an appetite, son?
Yeah.
Now we know. Marijuana use in Canada, you probably saw this, the paper last week, is the highest, so to speak, in the industrial world, higher than Holland, where it is legal, and four times the global rate here. 40% of Canadian smoke is produced right here in British Columbia. Be proud. Senator Larry Campbell says legalize it, tax it, smoke it, and now we learn you can cook with it.
Yeah.
It's spice is nice.
Well, Alice B. Toklas was doing that years ago.
Well, yeah, she did. But that was pastry. We're talking about main dishes here.
All right.
More curry? More nasi goreng? Or just roll it up, maybe?
Yeah.
right. That's on a 7-incher. Well, we used to call them 45s in my day, but the band is called...
That was a long time ago.
Oh, God, let's not go back in time. The Book of Lists. And I was looking on the computer this morning, actually, to some of the new tunes that... Mr. Meat had added to our playlist, and there was a 7-incher by the Book of Lists, and one site's called Pebbles, It Is You. That we just played Name in the Wind, and that reminded me a lot of kind of old Pink Floyd, kind of old psychedelia.
Oh, there you go again.
Oh, there I go again, yes.
Well, that but that was in mono, though, right?
It was. I had to play that in mono because...
We just had a call, like about a minute and a half ago while you were queuing up something else, and they said, hey, man, this is CITR. Yeah, CITR, 101.4 on your FM dial.
101.9.
9 on your FM dial. And, well, I make the, you know, it's a small mistake.
Yeah, right.
But he said, you're in mono. And I said, well, no, that particular track is because John likes to play something once during the show that is in mono. It brings back the memories of, you know, before stereo and FM and all of that stuff. So there you go.
We don't tell them it's really because the turntable wasn't playing stereo and I had to switch it to mono, but that's okay. We won't tell them that.
No, they don't need to know.
Okay, Chris Frey did vocals and guitar with the Book of Lists along with Brady, Trevor Lee, and Laura, Name in the Wind. Good stuff. Love it. All right.
Did you see Lydia, our station manager, when we walked in here? How she was so excited. The first thing she said to you,
"Are you on Facebook yet?"
And you just sort of like you've been walking around for the last 2 hours. And, what? Facebook?
You know, no, actually, there's a story in the paper about a mom who reunited with her adopted son via Facebook. So, and I showed her the story. She was
well, technology
thrilled.
Has its benefits. There's no question. But true. I think that we're getting overindulged in it, and it's getting really too much. It's getting almost scary, though I'm not knocking it. I'm just saying to, you know, to those who would push it at you, you know, like Lydia, I just... say, get out of my Facebook, man.
All right.
That's all I'm asking. I mean...
Thank you, son of Shane Nimrod.
Thank you, Long John. Meanwhile, back at the Folk Festival, it's still going. There they are. They're still going. It's over, man. It's over.
Swollen, and the mountains are built for the whistle, but it wears a prickly
20 minutes are up. Meg, Jack, get off the stage, off the main stage here at the Folk Festival. From Icky Thicky, the White Stripes. And would you, what was the name of that lovely song?
It was Prickly Thorn, But Sweetly Now.
All right. Well, that would have worked.
Yeah,
you know,
it
would have. I don't think that they would play for the same amount of money, though, that the other performers at the Folk Festival would have paid.
Nimrod, it was But Sweetly Worn.
But what?
But Prickly Thorn, But Sweetly Worn
was
the title. I said it wrong there. Sorry.
Well,
Worn
said.
And Thorn. You know, and I've been reading about Jack and Meg because they did a lot of shows across Canada recently, and they played little places.
They would show up at, you know, a subway stop or something.
Well, yeah, they'd go and do a free concert in downtown in the middle of the afternoon. And
But they wouldn't do it here because they've seen downtown in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do that, I wouldn't be caught dead on the street. But the 30th anniversary of the Folk Festival now done a success by all accounts.
What's that?
I don't know, but I think some folk singers are getting ready.
They're warming up there. Yeah.
Okay, it was a success. Did you go?
I didn't. I gave my ticket away because I had to get up early the next day. But I hear from Fran Dance it was the usual lots of fun, you know. And
right. Well, though we kind of wish that they would have brought in, you know.
Some bigger names.
Well, it's not a matter of names, man. It's all about the music. But, like, Guy Clark, a great alternative country singer, was playing at a festival on the island. And then you had over in Mission, Hugh Masekela. I mean, that is so cool. Hugh Masekela.
Raisin in the Grass.
Great South African jazz musician. And then some Buffy St. Marie. They were playing Mission to both. But if they had brought them in for, I'm not saying that they should have, but it would have bolstered the eclectic but fairly local lineup. But it's not about stars. It's about the music. We know that. But and the weather held out. It was the one sour note, however, and you know this, we were talking about it, was the last-minute exclusion owing to ill health of great Orange County musical activist Alva Miller, whose interpretations of bona fide popular songs mines the political, sociological, lyrical content inherent within these songs, but often, as in most cases, dismissed as just pop for the masses, right? But in the vocal and unique interpretation by Alva Miller, they become almost profound.
Magical.
Me.
boy. There we are. Well, I'm sorry that Alva didn't make it.
You're laughing, but the fact is that Alva Miller in her 80s, and ailing, and we wish her, you know, recovery.
Right.
She lives in, I think it's in Watsonville, California. Anyway, she has that away with a song, and that is, of course, a folk pop classic, a Southern California pop folk classic that was originally done by, and this is, so there'd be some CanCon here, because it was the Mamas and Papas and the late Denny Doherty.
right, yeah.
So does that qualify as CanCon?
I don't know, but in case you weren't sure, that was Mrs. Miller here on Radio
to
on
her
CITR.
Friends, to her friends, Alva, and she makes a great sponge cake. What else can we tell you? This is CITR 101.4.
101.9.
Why do
You're
I do
close.
That? I it's almost like those idiots down the dial, you know, Hatch and Dean or something are paying me off to do that. But it's not. It's just, I just have a way, you know, I just can get confused with numbers.
What are you sure it wasn't One Foot in the Grave, Crave FM that got you to do that?
No. I'm not sure. Oh, so, okay.
Daylight shaving time is 6:24.
The sun is out.
It is.
And the forecast you have.
It looks like nothing but sun with a few clouds.
But that's not what I saw on the Weather Channel.
What channel? Oh, the Weather Channel? Maybe we better tune it up here. Let's look it up.
Let's look up the Weather Channel while we play the next song, which will be introduced by Long John Tanner.
Nimrod, son of Shane, Mr. Captain Midnight, you can do a much better job of introducing a record than I can.
No, I can't.
I'm just the operator.
No, you're the pro. I want to hear it pro style.
Hey, our technicians out here, too. I can tell them about the non-stereo turntable. Sorry, I don't want to rub that in.
He's really worried. He's got that look on his face. He said, oh, Shane and son of Shane and Nimrod are here. And I think Lydia made a call just to keep an eye on us, because usually after we leave, the station needs a complete technological overhaul.
Melanie's wearing her bicycle helmet. Whoa, okay, here we go. She's very cool with her bike helmet on and her shorts. They kind of match. Joel Plaskett Emergency, okay, from his Ashtray Rock CD.
Don't give a let the winter come on. I think I'll try my luck. Always knew it could be bad, though I must admit, if I thought it'd be this bad, I would have split. I am exhausted, I'm black and blue. Don't say you're cheating hard, it's attacking you too. I hear your voice across the wire, liar. Don't call me up when you figure it out.
this show called Radio Radio, formerly Son of Night Dreams, featuring a good Canadian sound of the Joel Plaskett Emergency there for you, coming up to the half hour here. We're just about an hour away from Carasu.
Carasu, just for you, with Kid Wasabi, Alex.
You.
We like to call him Smart Alex, as he is. Hey, now open in Yale Town, where the almighty pug, Chihuahua, French Bulldog, rule and drool, is the Walmart. You've heard about this. The Walmart for man's best friend.
Oh.
Everything our four-footed babies need, want, desire is available at, and they're now open. I couldn't believe it. Doggy Style is the name of the place.
Doggy Style.
Always new products and accessories to delight and excite our furry friends. Now available, I'm not making this up. I was there. It is on mainland in Yale Town. Where else? Bottled water, especially for dogs. Well, bottled water for dogs.
Oh,
at
God.
$6 a bottle, a bargain for those who feel that tap water, puddles, and the toilet don't cut it. Right? For little Toby. It's called H2O Canine at Doggy Style on mainland in Yappy, Yale Town. This is not a commercial plug. We just love doggies. And we thought that those who feel and are concerned about their little fur balls of love are getting the best. I don't know, Long John, but the more time I spend around people, the more I love dogs. My dad instilled that in me years ago. You know, he doesn't like people, but he loves animals. You know, he almost married Emma, that six-year-old Shaughnessy chocolate lab last summer. Didn't happen. I didn't ask him why, but he still has a little wedding band for her paw, just in case. There it is. No, so, right. Okay, so there you go. If you're wanting to take the pooch somewhere special, take him to Doggy Style in Yale Town and get him bottled doggy water. They just asked for the H2O K9. That's all you got to do.
That's it.
It's very cool. It's all right.
All right. Well, then.
They need water like us.
That they do. Make sure the windows are all down in the car if you leave doggy in the car, please. Well, that's good sound there. Brand new thing from a band called Electrolane here on Radio Radio, CITR.
They've been around for a while. This is probably their third CD or so. Very acclaimed. They are from Brighton. Brighton in England. That's where you go for the holidays sometimes. Have you ever gone to Brighton Pier?
I have not, but I've seen pictures of it, yeah, and Who movies and stuff like that. Tram 21, No Shouts, No Calls, title
one,
of that
One
CD.
Day, Long John Tanner, who was born not too far away from there, you will get back and you will walk on the Brighton Pier, and you will think of Electrolane.
Thank you, right. Mr. Nimmy.
Okay, we don't often get the opportunity to do what we're going to do now, right. And that is to give away something very, very special. Unless, of course, you know, we rig it so that one of us gets it. But we don't do that. We're not like that. We have a pair of tickets. Is it like a pair, like for two tickets for two people?
I've just been reading through here, and it says ticket giveaway, winner's names at the door. But it doesn't say, but they usually give away a pass for two. I mean, I don't know. It doesn't say here. This is stupid.
Well, let's assume that is.
Yeah.
And whoever wants to play the contest to get these tickets has to go with whatever the situation is at the door.
Right.
In other words, if you bring a date, you may ask him or her to sort of boot it because you've only got one ticket.
Yeah.
Because we're so cheap here at CITR, but not really. Here's what it is.
I think it's a pair of tickets.
Probably. It's probably a pair of tickets, and it'll be a very romantic evening with a fine singer-songwriter from North Carolina who's been around for a long time, 9 albums, and this is one of his best. His name is Ryan Adams. You've heard of him. He's had many albums. This one's getting really good reviews. And we're going to give away a pair of tickets for skill testing question, and then we're going to play a song right now from the album that I think is probably one of the most beautiful summer-type songs, not about summer, that I have heard in years. And when I first heard the CD, I wasn't knocked out by it. I'm not a big Ryan Adams fan, but I like him. He's writes some good stuff. I haven't seen him live, although I hear he can be pretty obnoxious. but we like that, too. However, with this particular CD, this one song, maybe it was just me, you know, but I had to play it when I listened to it on my iPod. I had to play it over and over and over again because it has a hook to die for. This is a summer song. Hope you enjoy it. And here's the contest. Here's how it goes. Our number is at CITR is
822-2487. That's 822-CITR.
And don't forget 604.
Right.
Or you'll never get through. which two songs are not Ryan Adams songs? Cuts Like a Knife or Everything I Do It to You?
Two hearts, one of them will break.
Catchy.
Yeah, very catchy. Very catchy stuff.
Catchy stuff. Well, we have a winner.
We have a winner. Winner of, and it is plus one here, too. Jeremiah Klein called us. And, Jeremiah, you've got a ticket plus one waiting for you at the door for Ryan Adams.
It's a Saturday night, the Orpheum Theater.
July 28th,
What's to lose? To reiterate the question, the answer, Ryan Adams wrote neither Cuts Like a Knife or Everything I Do It For You. It was, of course, Vancouver's very, very own mega talented Ryan Adams. Do you remember the time Ryan Adams was somebody in the audience thought it was Brian Adams and you yelled out for him to do Cuts Like a Knife. And Ryan Adams, this wasn't here, somewhere else.
Right.
I think he threw a bottle at him from the stage. So
okay.
Be on your best behavior. It's Ryan, not Brian. All right. 18 minutes before 7 o'clock, and it's scary time because I think we have...
Yes, we do have...
The man.
We have the man here right now, ladies and gentlemen. I'd like to introduce to you a gentleman who's had a lifelong interest, like myself, in UFOs, considered to be one of the world's best ufologists. Here he is, Michael Strainick.
Good evening, John. Kind words, and hello there, Nimrod.
Hello, scary man.
Hi.
All right, so okay. What's new in the world of unidentified flying objects, Michael?
Well, we may as well get this one out of the way first, because it was the most disgusting, and that was Friday night on the Larry King Show. They did a complete show on UFOs, and you can't even say it was a hatchet job. It was just one of those where nobody really cared, and they just threw together a really... really, really bad show. As guests, they had astronaut Buzz Aldrin, the Arizona governor, claiming that he did, in fact, see the Phoenix Lights. Jerry Ford and Carter, their two sightings were gone into, which is ridiculous. They were not that good. And the focus was really Roswell with Dr. Jesse Marcel, Jr., his father saw and handled the Roswell wreckage. Canada's Stanton Friedman was there.
Yeah, Stanton Friedman, who's a longtime advocate of UFOs.
Oh, yes, the flying saucer physicist, as he calls himself.
That's right.
And we actually brought him here, and he spoke at UBC in the Hebb Theater.
Right, right.
And Walter Haut's daughter, her father was the intelligence operator at Roswell, and he pretty well wrote and released the original story about Roswell. It was very disappointing, especially when the debunker tried to take over. Now, if you didn't see the show and you're interested, just go to the CNN website and search around for transcripts of last Friday's Larry King Show, and it's all there.
Excellent. Okay. Well, it may not have been a highlight of UFO information, the Larry King Roswell 60th anniversary, but at least there were some interesting guests, and probably a lot of people saw it. So
yeah, and it does keep people interested, which is nice.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why we have you on this program.
Yeah, it's always, though, these verschlagener skeptics that they bring in, because they're not really skeptics. They're just debunkers, and they even admit they don't know that much about UFOs.
But don't you think, though, in the show that the majority of those who were guests were sort of like, yeah, there is a great possibility that that does exist. And the mayor of Phoenix having seen that, do you not think that it was weighed more in favor of than against
Not really. It always comes out to a point where you didn't really learn much new that you hadn't already heard. It's just another rehash of the case.
And the thing is, Michael, that a lot of people who may be watching don't know what you and John know. I mean, you guys really know your stuff. And I mean, I sat there watching the last few minutes because I missed most of it, and I was kind of quite riveted by it. But I want to ask you a question afterwards. But go ahead.
Okay. Well, the other thing is, I have mentioned this before, nuclear facilities and UFOs. Now, UFOs have always exhibited an interest in electrical power, nuclear generators, nuclear warhead facilities, that sort of thing. And the ones from last week, and or 2 weeks ago, and from 2 weeks before that. We had a lot of activity over the Pickering Nuclear Generating Station, and now we got more, only this happens to be an employee. Now, the witness had read of the sightings in the area, and he realized he was not the only one that thought it was odd. As he said, "I usually arrive around 6 a.m., have breakfast in the cafeteria. My first sighting of the object was when I was leaving the security building to enter the administration's building when I glanced up to see an object that seemed to be rectangular. The object was fixed in a horizontal position, hovering over the turbine auxiliary bay on the A side of the building. What caught my attention was that it was something I had never noticed from that location before, and it was so perfectly stationary that I stopped walking to get a better look. I thought it might have been part of the building, so I decided to forget about it. Around 9 a.m., I had to go to the screen house located near Lake Ontario. After leaving the screen house, I looked up and saw the same object again. This time it was a bit higher and slightly west of the vacuum building structure. The top of that structure was about 200 feet, and this was about 200 feet above that. He watched for 5 minutes, and it absolutely did not move. Quoting him, "It was the fact that it was absolutely stationary that both caught and captured my attention." Later in the a.m., he walked out to the back of the plant, and it was gone. He searched the sky, and to his amazement, he saw it again. It had changed locations. This time it was over the cooling water inflow area behind the vacuum building, still hovering at about 200 feet. Watched for a few minutes. Around 2 p.m., walked back out, and it was still in the same place near the vacuum building. Object was dark, and this is in a early morning sighting, and rectangular, may have been roughly the size of a 45-gallon drum. Now, we do know that back in the 1970s, 75 in particular, a lot of the U.S. northern tier states were having overflights by UFOs. Soldiers were panicking. Some refused to go out and investigate. But the excellent book on this is called Faded Giant by Robert Salas and James Klotz. And the interesting thing was these would hover over the missile silos at a very low altitude. The soldiers were afraid to go out. And after the whole thing was over, they would go out and check the missiles. And in all cases, the launch codes had been reprogrammed.
Ooh.
Yeah. I would like to know the targets they were reprogrammed to.
Hmm.
Now, what the security is in Canada for, like, a nuclear generating station, I don't really know. But somebody has to know about these reports, and somebody has got to be looking into them.
Well, very bizarre. And again, triangular-shaped objects. It seems to be lots of triangles. You know, it's funny, it started out with, airships.
Yep.
And, of course, way back when, it was flying shields and stuff like that. Whatever was happening, there's a war going on or whatever. Yeah. So now it's flying triangles. So there you go. Well, there you go. There's the word from our UFO expert, our local guy, Michael Strainick, on the strange world of UFOs.
Yeah.
Now, Nimrod, you wanted to talk some more about...
Well, I just briefly, you know, I was watching Buzz Aldrin at the end, because I only saw the last, say, 10 or 15 minutes of the show, like they were doing the wrap-up.
This is the Larry King thing we were talking about earlier, right? Yep.
And Aldrin was asked, you know, because he's been out there, right?
Yeah.
He was the only one in the whole panel that was out there.
Right.
Now, he was asked, did you see anything? And he said that he saw, like, a light from, you know, like the window.
He's been known as the Great Fudger.
So he's not
well,
committing himself.
Well, his first statements, when they happened,
yeah,
were very definitive. I mean, he made no, you know, bones about it. This is what I saw, and it was very weird.
Was this on the first trip to the moon, by the way, Buzz Aldrin? Yes, okay.
Yeah. And then as the years went by, he has gotten more vague and has backed down from this, that, and the other thing. But some of the astronauts are starting to speak up as well, which should take up the slack there.
Good, because, you know, what we need, thank you, Michael, again, we need more of the astronauts who have been out there and seen things to speak out.
We need anyone with technical training that's seen anything to get a hold of us in any way possible.
Have either of you two guys, Long John and Michael, have you ever wanted to be an astronaut? I mean, have you ever desired to? Not that you'd go through all of that, but would you have loved to have been an astronaut or still would like to go out there?
Not you?
No, I wanted to be a jet pilot until I discovered I was too tall, so.
That's the way it is.
I would have been a pilot, but I was too short.
Thank you, Michael Strainick.
You'll never be an astronaut.
My daddy was an astronaut. That's what I was often taught. My daddy went away too soon. Now he's living on the moon. Hang on to me, people, we're going down. Down among the fishes in an absence of sound. It's the presence of distance and it's floating in time. It's like and it's longing, and it's not very kind. Sitting there scratching in this rented room, scratching and a tapping to the man in the moon. My daddy was an astronaut.
One small step for man, one giant leap for CITR 101.9. We're out there. From the campus of higher learning, UBCITR Radio, Radio, Radio! Down to meet you.
mouth is a hologram made of spider's bones. Your fingers, little soldiers drumming on their way back home. A thought I saw a thunder cloud on heaven. Lightning rattled through the streets, yeah, that a little storm was you. Like the falling snow, your hair is like the rising sun. Your tongue is like a Krishna curve or some other foreign girl. I see you standing there way down up on the street. You're marching victorious with your banners of defeat.
It's Nikki and the boys, Cave and Cohorts from Bad Seeds, called Grinder Man, and two tracks, Man on the Moon, and that flowed into... When My Love Comes Down. It is love we send to you, and congratulations to Jeremiah. He's going to Ryan Adams. Remember, don't scream for cuts like a knife, or you'll get a paper cup thrown at you real fast.
Yeah.
It's summertime, and what's the temperature out there right now? Have you got any idea?
Ooh, I don't know, but it's sort of clouding over. There's been a sort of a bit of a haze throughout the day.
Well, you know what that means. You know what that means. That means mugginess, which in turn means rage, like road rage, because people get real antsy about that. It means headaches, means migraines. That's when the clouds lock you in that sun. That's what happens. When the temperature rises, even the most dedicated of CITR folks, like the esteemed music director Lucas Meat, blast off to nearby Wreck Beach, where it is the Naturalists Society International Nude Week. Oh, look, there's Luke's Meat. Oh, my God. Wreck Beach Appreciation Society are getting an injunction order to limit Mr. Meat's almost daily visits during the summer. But they insist if he does plan to keep coming to Wreck, as is his right, that at least he keeps his pants on and cease trying to sign up new CITR members. What can I say? There it is.
You've said it all, Junior Nimrod, son of legendary J.B. Shane.
And Long John Tanner will tell you all about the sky now, because you got to know, it's up there, and it could all come falling down.
The sky is falling, yeah, right. Just a few things to take note of. The Phoenix Mars lander will be lifting off in a window somewhere between August 3rd and later that month, heading for the North Pole with a Canadian weather station on board. Good luck to the Phoenix Mars lander. The space shuttle Endeavour will be lifting off in early August to dock with the space station. Don't forget, if you have high-speed internet access, you can watch that on NASA TV. Bumpo, make sure you're tuned into that one. Opportunity, that's one of the two rovers on Mars, Spirit and Opportunity, 3.5 years they've been driving around. They haven't gotten very far. Spirit and Opportunity have only driven 7 and 10 kilometers, but Opportunity is now delayed in entering Victoria Crater.
Can I go to the washroom?
Oh, you may. You may go. Okay, so Opportunity is sort of stalled outside Victoria Crater. There you go, Nimi. On Mars, due to a severe dust storm on that red-orange planet, which, by the way, rises around 1 o'clock in the morning our time in the Northeast. Still fairly faint, but closest to Earth on Christmas Eve this year. And finally, NASA has found hydrocarbons on Saturn's moon Hyperion with the Cassini spacecraft that's been orbiting that space, orbiting Saturn for about 3 years now. And you can go to any JPL website, Jet Propulsion Laboratory, down in Pasadena, California, which might be getting us now if they're streaming us. Check out Cassini, and you'll see all those pictures of Saturn, its many moons. But good news there. And for you sky watchers, keep your eye on the sky, because tonight Venus, Saturn, and the star Regulus, the king star, brightest star of Leo the Lion, and the waxing crescent moon are within a wide binocular field low in the west at twilight. But I don't know how the clouds are going to be here in Vancouver, okay? And a few more days, Mercury at greatest elongation. It'll be west of the sun, very low in the dawn sky. Hey, CITR 101.9 FM. This is Radio Radio. I'm Trash Tanner, and here comes Caribou. There's music of Caribou from Melody Day. That's the title track. Good old Dan Snaith. And it's a happy kind of summery song here.
And to think that they used to be called Manitoba, but then who complained, was it? Oh, it was Handsome Dick Manitoba, who's not even Canadian. I mean, you know, if it was Burton Cummings, maybe we could understand. But
right.
Anyway, that's nice. It's after 7 o'clock, 7:30 Carasu with...
Alex, you
smart Alex,
smart Alex,
the Wasabi Kid. Should the outside workers go on strike this week to better their lot, then residents in the heat of summer must be vigilant when it comes to garbage, especially in the Cambie area, site of those deep excavations called the Canada Line. Already, the digging has local rats and their families looking for new homes. You know about that. But now, with a garbage strike looming, the good rats are salivating over the possibilities of those all-you-can-eat garbage disposal sites. Residents everywhere, but especially Cambie denizens, must take precaution with their garbage. Put them in big bags, deposit them on the lawns of City Hall, and light them on fire. Visitors will love it. They'll think it's a 2010 Olympics booster display light show.
Ooh, I love
light
shows.
Look at that. Wow. Oh. They sure know how to throw a party in this city.
Don't they?
Talk about reasons why you don't want to talk about reasons why you don't want to talk. Now that you got everybody you consider sharp, all alone, all together in the dark. Leave it all up in the air. Leave it all up in the air. Leave it all. I can hear the
Why do songs always seem so short on this show? I thought that was a 5-minute track, but how did I know?
Time flies when you're having fun.
Are you having fun
yet? I'm having fun today, Nimrod. I don't know what it is, the weather or something. I just feel sort of enlightened.
I think it was that little swimming down to the beach there. You know, it's it is confusing, the GVRD versus QP strike possibility. If it happens, it will certainly close, among other facilities, our glorious pools, notably Second and Kitts Pool, the worst time of the year for this to happen. No lifeguards at the beaches, so leave the kids at home. You could fill up the bathroom with sand and use the tub for a kiddie wading pool. You decide. The ocean is fine, and English Bay and Jericho Third Beach have the best water quality, but watch out for those killer floating logs that almost boomed you a little bit earlier on in the show. And that any time I go swimming, whether especially in a pool like Kitts Pool, I don't know why it is, but every time I come out of the pool and I'm dripping wet, and I just start yelling at kids and their mothers, and I didn't realize why. Because did you ever see the movie Little Children? You haven't.
I've heard about it.
Kate Winslet. It's a wonderful film, one of the best of last year, and the actor who plays the accused pedophile in it, Jackie Earl Haley, has this one incredible scene where he goes into the pool, which is full of kids and housewives and their families and are gathered around there while the kids are splashing in the pool having fun, and out walks Jackie Earl Haley looking pretty creepy with his goggles and his flippers on, jumps in the water, and then you have scenes that take place under the water where he's kind of looking at children's feet and that, and he's not doing anything, he's just, and then as soon as they realize who it is, it's the town pedophile. All the mothers, and it's comic, really, grab their kids and grab them out of the pool. They all and run off screaming. And then Jackie Earl Haley, who plays little Ronnie, he gets out of the water, descends from the pool, and an incredible and one-liner, and it's one that just always hits me, and I always use it for when I'm coming out of the water, and I just wanted to cool off. And anyway,
I thought you were going to talk about swimmer's ear, but
No. Or have you ever had a red eye, swimmer's eye?
Oh, yeah.
That's bad stuff.
It is.
Cue me. Let's get that music going. Well, there's not much at the movie houses, mostly escapist stuff, but the fun, feel-good summer spectacle is definitely Werner Herzog's Rescue Dawn, with another great edgy performance from Christian Bale. Pushed to his limits by Herr Herzog. Remember Klaus Kinski years ago in Aguirre, the Wrath of God. Escaping his captors in Laos during the Vietnam War, Christian Bale's character, who's based on real-life character Dieter Dengler, who always wanted to fly, and he's imprisoned with tapped-down Steve Zahn and freaked-out Jeremy Davies, battle the jungle elements in their harrowing escape from the Pathet Lao prison camp. And, Bale really does eat real maggots. He said so. Herzog wants real. He gets it. Herzog has always been a master of nature versus the human. And as he said years ago, around the time of his masterpiece, Aguirre, The Wrath of God, we must see new images. Rescue Dawn is maybe closer to Hollywood than Herzog has gone before, but it's hardly Hollywood fare in the conventional sense. We anticipate now the doggy-doo movie days of August, when studios have already rolled out their big boffle blockbusters, most duds. But now, well, I guess you're wanting to catch a movie, Long John, in summer. You know, August films. We have a couple for you here.
Ooh, what do you recommend?
How about Daddy Daycare with Cuba Gooding Jr., sequel to Daddy Daycare? how about Rush Hour 3 with Jackie Chan? Here's one. Let me see. Oh, Penelope with Christina Ricci. Penelope carries the mark of her family's curse. She was born with a pig's nose, kept in the family mansion her whole life. She does the unthinkable and runs away to the big city to find true love. You'll want to see that.
Oh, for sure.
What about Super super bad. Nerdy best friends, Seth and Evan, are graduating from high school and plan one last blowout party to cement their friendship and try to finally score with chicks. You'll want to see that.
Oh, yes.
How about wedding days with Anderson or Jason Biggs is hurting bad. He's lost the woman he loves and believes true love is overrated, so he goes out and asks a stranger to marry him, and she accepts. Then there's SummerSlam and Good Luck Chuck. It seems every woman Chuck has sex with finds her true love immediately afterwards, which means girls are lining up to date. You don't want to bother
with
that.
No,
okay.
No.
Halloween, a remake by Rob Zombie.
Oh,
Mr. Bean's Holiday. Well, that. But there is one here.
Okay.
One here that you will like.
Yes.
And I'm looking forward to it. And it's called The Invasion with Nicole Kidman and Daniel Craig. Now, you don't. I mean, that's a double bill in itself. And it's directed by Oliver Hirschbiegel. That name, you look puzzled, but he did The Downfall, the story of the days in the bunker
right.
with Adolf.
Okay.
And Kidman stars as a psychiatrist who discovers a virus infecting her son, maybe an alien in nature, in this reworking of The Invasion of the Body Snatchers. Film's been filmed twice before, the story, 56 and 78.
Oh, you're kidding. This is a remake of Invasion of the Body Snatchers?
Yeah.
Each
one before reflecting the fears of a society at that time. That was the Red Menace, communism in the 50s, and personal alienation in the 70s. So this time, it's a global pandemic, The Invasion. So that's something for you to look forward to.
I wonder if Kevin McCarthy is still around. I know he appeared in the sequel with Leonard Nimoy and company, but well.
No idea. I don't know. That's it. Go to a movie. Stay cool.
Yeah. Okay.
Fuck me, too. Yeah. Yeah, I come across it in my travels. Fading if I got it in the opposite place, and it rattles all my nerves, it's unsettled. But some moments it can feel like a connection, other times it's a kettle. Yeah, the ship where relations coast on, hit rough seas, not feeling so strong. Am I on drive shit, push it along, or is bullshit a comedy? Nah, I'm on and on. Shouldn't have to place it on a scale. My monitor don't pick up the words like it's braille. Many previous was able to cipher on the D, and then bring it to me, and I'm giving back the key and play X next like Keith Land. Nowadays, text message release the dram. Why can't we decrease the flam and let the beautiful be the beautiful that it can? Let the beautiful be the beautiful that it can. Beautiful that it can, yeah. Ops been fast like a milepost. Thinking about it, drinking medium in my roast. You could ask what's her name, the role with Sergio Mendez, let me mend this for real. Or let it be the hit that it might be. The universe, let us see the shit that's unsightly. I can't picture two on the every. Two lives under one roof, very heavy. And growing the seeds a whole nother. Hard on my old mother, old brother. I shut up with the anticipation of a hit record. Bringing me back into the shit mixer. See what floats, see what don't. See meadows, see the wills, see the won'ts. On the sea, the sky, and land from the coast. Do the tour bus knowledge, put the butter on the toast. Yeah.
That's Search with Mocha Only, his latest CD right here on Radio. Hot Times, Summer in the City. It's a CITR summer flashback. Remember Martha and the Vandellas.
Wow.
Thank you, Wolfman.
Oh, my dad did it so much better than that.
All yeah, right. Not
hey,
bad.
No, thank you. Well, thank you, Long John. Coming from you, that's a...
Something.
Well, something, yeah. It's unofficial, but the Van Ock officials are mum. However, the new public toilets downtown, have you seen them? Have you used them? Not yet.
Not yet, no.
Will likely be re-outfitted for single tourist mini-dwellings for 2010 Olympics for the duration of the games, and then revert back to their high-tech shitter status after a possibility that, there was promises made, and I think that the conversion for homeless shelters after the Olympics may be in order if it doesn't go back to being a public laboratory. Right.
Yeah.
Well, if you've ever stayed at a Alex, I can see him coming around the corner listening to this. Ooh. Now, if you've ever stayed at a Tokyo budget hotel, you'll know it can be achieved because size is not a factor. A view is a luxury you don't need. It will sleep one individual comfortably. As they say at Kinji's hostels throughout Tokyo, Kobe, Osaka, and Kyoto, compact is cozy. 7:30 tonight, it's the finest of Japanese pop with Kid Wasabi himself, Smart Alex, on Karasu.
All right, and just want to mention, we might be losing the night market, you know? They have a...
Oh, no!
No, there's Shilin in Taipei and Temple Street in Hong Kong and Patpong in Bangkok, but we have it right here, the Richmond Night Market, which has been going for 8 years. It's grown from 15 to 400 stalls, and they get about 45,000 people a night down at River Road near Vulcan Way in Richmond. So we hope that the night market does hang in.
That's
there.
That's a lot of pot stickers.
You know, the night markets in Asia apparently are a lot better. This isn't the same. It's pretty good, and it's probably the best replica, the best one in North America. So it may be the last year or so. If you haven't been to the night market in Richmond yet, we highly recommend you check it out. A tip from Radio here at CITR. Now it's Lightning Dust.
Heard the sound from miles away, thumped in my ear like a drum. I was picked out of everyone, so I listened on. Took me out of a passion I'd imagined and sent me out on a search. If it hadn't rained so hard that night, I could have made it to your house by now. But sometimes when you're walking alone, you feel your mind start to lose control. Up to you. Days shone a little less light, so you rebuilt the moves. Taught me how to follow my shadow, could have sunk me like a stone. But the stars shine brighter in the sky than the dust from the dirt alone. But sometimes when you're walking alone, you feel your mind start to lose.
Lightning Dust.
Yeah, did you know Lightning Dust is Amber Weber and Joshua Wells, of course, who played For some time with, my mind is blanked out here, help me, Nimrod, who did they used to play with?
Are you talking about
Black
Pink
Mountain? Pink Mountain or Black Mountain.
Black Mountain,
yes,
or Pink Mountain.
Yeah, one of the two.
Or just Mountain, you know, with Felix Pappalardi.
Yeah, right. Anyway, check out Lightning Dust. They're local and
well,
good song for you there.
That's it, Radio Pals. We're done. Just turn us over and stick a fork in us, and that's all. Alex is here.
He's here.
Go, Alex!
He has
Alex.
He has arrived with tempura for everyone. And,
yes. Are we gonna,
Alex,
do you like greasy prawns?
No, we were talking about some of the Tokyo hotels, the hostels.
They are very small.
Very, very small. Would you say, size-wise, that they're as big as the public urinals downtown or smaller?
Bigger than a public urinal?
No. Well, bigger or smaller? Or have you not seen them? Have you not seen our new public urinals yet?
Oh, no. Where's that?
Oh, Alex, you've got some catching up. You've got some catching up.
I'm Japanese. I don't really pee.
But I have heard that. You can tell me this seriously.
Is that a rumor we should spread or what?
No. Listen.
And when my birthday comes, I get the right to release it. So
okay. Well, now is it true that in Tokyo, males can pee anytime they have to on the sidewalk? I mean, not necessarily, you know, in front of, but that you can go over to the side. I have heard that that's legal.
I don't know if there's a law with it, but you do see a lot of drunk businessmen just peeing on the sidewalk without even having to care of whoever's watching. So I guess that's like,
well, that's like
75% true.
Yeah, well, that sounds very much like like down on Pender Street and down on Wall Street.
I think it's a universal law. I think it just happens everywhere.
Yeah. We don't like you to do that.
As long as alcohol is involved.
Yeah. Well, yeah, exactly. You know, I mean, especially if you're on water pills, you know, for high blood pressure. What are you going to do? I mean, anyway, enough of that. We don't want to leave with a bad taste in our mouths.
Oh,
exactly.
Yeah.
So long, John. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Nimrod. It's been fun. I just want to remind all the muggles out there that Pottermania is spreading. And
oh, no!
Yes, Harry Potter and the Deadly Hallows.